You know, this morning on reflection, and I was praying, Lord, had me pray about several things this morning. By the way, this is Sunday morning, 12/4/22. You probably heard this. It's said in the Truth or Community that COVID was a IQ test, as well as the injection. And really, who didn't take it? A remnant. And I'm thinking, is it that simple, Lord? You know, you've heard what they talk about, whoever wrote it, and it was from military, that the ones that are unvaccinated are the kind of people you want in every place in government to be the parents that you didn't have or the children you didn't have or whatever, because of their uniqueness, because they stood against tyranny like there's never been on the whole earth and said, no, I won't take it. And I said, Lord, is that one of your gauges, those that refuse to bow to the beast? I mean, we have in other ways, but when push came to shove, we didn't. We decided, well, if we're going to burn, we're going to burn, but we're not going to bow. And so I got to thinking about that. I thought, hadn't really looked at it that way, and I've heard that term said, but that's kind of the way the Holy Spirit put it to me. You know, we think, oh, it's all deep state, it's all this, but I'm telling you now that it is being used by the military to do their operations. And a lot of those, there was a lady acquitted in, I think, was it the UK? I forget the country. And she was accused of giving the elderly saline instead of the vaccine, and they let her go free. She saved all these elderly people's lives, I guess, by doing that. Yeah. Knowing that she could face probably death for doing it, but she stood up against tyranny, and she went against the grain and did the right thing. This morning, we're going to look at praying in line with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of wonky prayers going forth, have been, always have been, out of the church. And this week, from just this, what I'm going to bring this morning, has changed my attitude about some things, that how I look at things. And so, let's get into it. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard people pray to take out a wicked leader? As intercessors, we are not the judge. God is. I remember Charles Capps, the first guy that we ever heard about the word of faith, and he was talking about the Lord cautioning him about his words, because he would say something about, that old boy's car is such a piece of junk, it's just going to fall apart on the highway. Or, you know, you better quit that or your house is going to burn down. These kind of statements, the Lord said to him, don't say that. When your words get powerful, you have to watch what you say. And how can God trust our words if we're speaking cursing out of one side of our mouth and blessing out of the other? That's what James calls it. All right, let's go to Psalm 75. This will be our only teaching today, but it's a little longer, so. But I think when I get done, you're going to see things in a different light. This is Psalm 75, 6 and 7. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. So if there's a wicked leader in power, is it up to us to take him out? Is it? No. All right, let's keep going. 1 Samuel. I know there at times God will use prophets to speak a word to a leader or maybe make a declaration or things like that. But that's by the Spirit. All right, 1 Samuel 16:1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably I come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and he called them to the sacrifice. They came to pass, when they were come, that they looked on Eliab, or he looked on Eliab, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So we don't know what's going on in a man's heart, but God does. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But looky here, verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord had troubled him. Well, it's not from the Lord, but anyway. All right. Did David immediately rise and start telling everyone that he was not the king, that Saul was not the king anymore? No, David would not raise his hand or his voice to do anything but honor this wicked king, even though he knew he was anointed to be king of Israel. He didn't pray him out so he could be in. All right, 1 Samuel 24. And it came to pass, verse 1, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. See, he had some guys among him that had the opinion, kill him. This is your opportunity. Take him out. You're king. You can do it. Legitimately, you can take him out. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also rose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see ye the skirt of thy robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog, after a flea. The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast regarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go away well? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto this day. And now behold, I know that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David sware unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men get up unto the hold. Those that pray against leaders, would you say that their motives are wrong? Yeah. As intercessors, we stand in the gap for one another. How can you stand in the gap for them but stand against them also? You can't. All right, 1 Timothy 2. Verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Wouldn't you think it ought to be for good men, not for bad men? No, it says for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. See, if the church is out of love, that's not going to operate in our favor. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So God requires this of us, to honor authority and treat them the same, whether they're good or bad. Why? Because we, faith works by love. How can we expect if we're cursing and we're taking that one out and talking wickedly about another? How can we expect for God to move on our behalf whenever we got bitter and sweet coming out of our mouth? Jesus' disciples thought this way. This is Luke chapter 9. Jesus rebuked them for it. Luke 9. Remember, God's the one that takes out or lifts up, not us. We stand in the gap for another. In essence, God is calling on you to pray for a wicked leader, to intercede for them, to stand in the gap for them, not to curse them. All right, this is Luke 9:51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? And he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man does not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. So they just went to another village. In other words, I'm not going to fight. Jesus said, you know, if you go somewhere, they won't receive you. Just shake the dust of your feet off and go somewhere else. Don't argue. Don't riot. Don't stand with your picketing signs out in front of their office calling them every name, pedophile. Yeah, that really wins a lot of people, doesn't it? But I'll tell you what, when you walk in love, then power can come on the scene and God can do a work and, man, change it in a minute. Do you think it's right to curse businesses, institutions, etc.? I remember, I've told y'all this before, it's been a while, so here we go. Back when Amber was living with us the first time, she had a job in the mall at a hair salon. And somebody was stealing stuff, so she got accused of it, so they let her go. And she said, I didn't do it. Oh, man, I was mad. I'd walk in Walmart, and I'd see that place, and I'd, you know. Nyeh. Lord said, don't curse that place. So I stopped. Well, a little while later, it was proven that the manager was the one stealing. And so she got fired, and they asked Amber to come back to work. See, I could have blocked her from getting the job back with my cursing. See, we don't know what spirit we are of. The spirit of love, power, and of love, and of a sound mind, not of cursing. All right, wouldn't it be more productive to bless them and claim them for the kingdom of God? If these people have gotten away with what they've done and the influence they have, just think what they could do if that was flipped for the kingdom of God and the money they have. All right, Luke 6. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh thee, and him that taketh away from thee thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what think have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what think have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what think have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And you shall be children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. And guess what? Giving has to do with this. Your return has to do with this. Give. See, these things aren't broken up in pieces. This is a thought here. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall be given to your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with, all shall be measured to you again. See, there's an attitude behind that. All right, Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before anybody ever repented, God died for them. Jesus died for them. God brings judgment only as a last resort. God is giving us an opportunity to stand in the gap for them. One last opportunity. Now he does appoint certain men that do bring judgment. But that is also appointed by God. All right, Matthew 5. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father who is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? If ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? So be ye therefore perfect, as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. How is he perfect? Love. For God so loved the world. He didn't say he so loved his children. He said he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. All right, 1 John chapter 4. Verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live through him. Herein is love. Know that not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Chapter 5 there, whosoever believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Because by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So this love walk has everything to do with our being victorious and being the Christians that God wants us to be. Having faith struggles, maybe this is the key here. Yeah, Galatians 5:6 says it's faith that operates by love. Your faith won't work without it. If our motives are wrong in our praying and we're no longer following the Holy Spirit, then when we can see that this would or could be a hindrance to our work, our faith working the way it should. Just saying here. It's something to consider. So how are we supposed to pray? We've looked at this several times. This is Romans 8. We're not just doing our praying. This is the Holy Ghost praying through us to stand in for another. I had that this morning in my prayer time. The Lord had me praying for one particular person the whole time that I was praying. At the end of the praying, when my broadcast came on, I had a word for this person. So I believe that was probably the interpretation of what I was praying for this person. We're to pray that we interpret. All right, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, or for others. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What is God's will? That all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Praying for and not against is the way we should be praying. All the scriptures that I've read to you indicate this. Pray for our leaders and not against them. If there is any judgment to be pronounced, it will be done so by God, not by us. Praying to take out all the deep state rats is not the right motive. Well, that's one of them all gone. Ship them all off to Gitmo. As the children of the kingdom, we are to take the good news and infiltrate the kingdom of darkness. It's not about taking out the wicked. It's about infiltrating the wicked with the kingdom of God, if possible. You can go read the Acts and see that. When God was ready to destroy the nation of Israel, Moses stood in the gap for them, and God remembered his mercy. Moses reminded him of God's mercy. He stood in the gap. All right, this is Exodus 32. What happened to me in the very beginning, if they'd have been praying for me instead of against me, Satan couldn't have come in and destroyed. Their motives were all wrong. And they stepped completely out of their place of where they belong. As intercessors, they're to pray for another. Pray for, not against. They were nothing more than spiritual gossips. All right. This is verse 9 here. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now there let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make thee of thee a great nation. Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. You know why the Lord said that to Moses? Because he knew what Moses would do. He didn't want to take out his people. But somebody rose up and stood in the gap, and God changed his mind. That's what intercessors are supposed to be doing, not the other thing. I told you about Gary Greenwald. You know, his book is all about seduction. It's Seductions Exposed, and it's all about witchcraft, and it's about, there's a quite a big section in the book about charismatic witchcraft is what he calls it. Where people behind the scenes are trying to manipulate the leaders and all kinds of things, mainly through intercessors, trying to split the church up. No wonder the church is so divided. Jeremiah the prophet was told by God to no longer pray for Israel, for he was going to judge it. Jeremiah stood in the gap and prayed for mercy. This is Habakkuk chapter 3. We would be better to just pray in the Spirit and not say anything than to say a bunch of evil. This is chapter 3, verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shiglanoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, receive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years. Make known in wrath, remember mercy. See, all this was going on during the exile and all of this stuff, and they were evil. They were Baal worshipers. All right, Ezekiel. This is 22:30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Why? Because everybody else wants to curse it. Finding an intercessor with God's true heart that will let God use them to stand in the gap for another, regardless. Instead of, well, let's get together and talk about the pastor. And let's just tear him to, I mean, a lot of our early years in church was that way. There was some of them a lot better at it than us. That was their sole purpose, to go after church and go eat and tear down the leadership. I remember one of them come up to me and said, we're going to go so-and-so eat. Y'all want to go over there? We'll go over there and talk bad about the preacher. How about that? I remember standing there and thinking, okay. All right. God found none. So sad, right? That even Christians are praying for the destruction instead of salvation. Most want to see judgment instead of mercy. We must know God's heart so that we can pray with the right motivation, for and not against. Remember what Mama used to say, if you can't talk, or I don't know if our mother said that, but you know, if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say nothing at all. It's true. Yeah, for and not against. All right, we're going to go take a look at old Jonah this morning. You talk about a prophet with a bad attitude. Oh, Lord, help us. I hope this makes an impression on you, that you don't fall back into your... We've all done it. You know, nobody's pointing any fingers at anybody else. We've all done this. And so... we will all be repenting at the end of this for doing that and having more of a mind to the Holy Spirit to lead us in our praying instead of saying what we think off the top of our head because we heard so-and-so or saw so-and-so. We're not praying for so-and-so. We're not praying for the newscasters and what they're bringing. We're praying for this person in the behalf of God, because we're told to pray for our leaders and all that are in authority. So we could lead quiet, peaceful lives, is what it says. Well, we're blaming all of them for all the disquiet. Maybe it's us, because we don't have the love working. Maybe that's where the problem. The devil's been able to come in because we didn't have our love shield up. You know what I'm saying? Think about that. Maybe we've shot ourselves in the foot. I think probably that's probably the case, because I really believe that if the church was walking in love, we wouldn't have a problem. I've even heard people say that. If their love vibration in this earth was where it should be, evil would be gone. They'll say, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I don't do, no, no. Can't stand that love stuff. Think about it. All right, Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. I mean, it's like here. It's so bad, God hears it. Just like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. But Noah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with unto them, unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. Nope, I ain't going to do it. I hate them Ninevites. I ain't going down there. No way. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What measure meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. In other words, you're the one that disobeyed God. You're the one that's caused all of this. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And what people art thou? Of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wroth and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. They were a lot better spirited than he was, right? So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. I heard one old Saban talking about this one time. He talked about how he must have looked with all the fish. You know, he'd have been there, the fish had digested. Wasn't a whale, by the way, it was a fish. Because Brian said one time, said, Mom, couldn't have been a whale. He said, because sharks swallow everything whole. Whales don't. And he said, there's no way. But he said, you know, he probably looked like a bleached out raisin when he come out of that place with this wad of seaweed on his head. You know, they saw him. They saw the fish vomit him up. They probably thought, that's them UFOs we've been hearing about. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. See, Jesus likened it unto him dying in that whale's belly. Just like Jonah went into the belly of the fish, he's talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters came past me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Sounds like hell, doesn't it? Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. He finally repented. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Think about it. The whole nation repented before God. For the word came into the kingdom of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he raised his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let us neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. You heard people say, I'm going to be very mad if they don't show the tribunals. I'm just going to be so pissed off. Where is that any different than this? And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before into Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. So mad, he's depressed. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? You mean they let him go? Look what he did. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. He's still hoping God's going to wipe him out. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah and made it to come, okay, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. He just had his pity party. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? We have to be really careful our motives here. You know, we're to stand in the gap for another, and that may mean Chuck Schumer, Shifty Schiff, and whoever. We're not to pray our opinions and what we think. All right. Jonah really had a bad attitude. He hated the Ninevites, just like it would be easy to hate the pedophiles and Baal and Moloch worshipers. What would you do if God had you pray for these people? Well, wakey, wakey. We're supposed to be praying for these people. Isn't that what it means to pray for all in authority? Praying for and not against, standing in the gap for. God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should acknowledge him. Jesus died for them also. Maybe that's why we've not seen what we need. Because you have to understand, a lot of these people have grown up in this. They had no choice. They were groomed from the time they were born, and they know nothing else. And they know they can't get out of it or they'll be killed. A lot of this is going on. So think about that. Think, dear God, I'm so thankful that I was not born into one of these families. Stuck in this lifestyle, feeling like I had nowhere to go. All right, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It goes on to talk about, Peter's talking about whenever the day of the Lord does come and what's going to happen. But Lord, look at what they've done. He's the righteous judge. We're not the judge. We're not the judge. God, can God depend on you to pray with clean hands and a pure heart? We must leave the judging up to him. We don't get that right. Satan is always a target, and never people or even places and things. I know that Satan's high places will have to come down. All right? But we will have the Holy Spirit directing us through God's place military. See, God will have us pray for the military because they are the ones that God has given the sword to take out these people, do these operations, not us. All right, this is Romans chapter 13. Verse 1 says, to let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. You know, the Lord knew who to pick to join up with the military to do this. Was Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is the one that likes to give second chances and third chances and fourth chances, doing everything possible to try to get them to turn away from their wickedness so this evil doesn't have to come upon them. That's why it's been so slow. Thank God he was not rash. Didn't just go in the first day, guns a-blazing and blowing everybody up. What difference would that have made in the world? We'd still have a lot of things that don't need to be here. And you know, people just gripe, gripe, gripe. That's all they do, just gripe, because they don't see what they want to see. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. See, they have a place. The intercessors stand in the gap and pray for the person they're standing in the gap for. But these, they're there to do judgment. God's placed them in that place. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. As Christians, that's our main thing, is to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. For love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Isn't that appropriate for now? We talk about the sleepers all the time, about those people that are just oblivious to anything that's going on. They're the sleepers. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Yeah. Then it goes on to talk about one that's weak in his faith. In other words, don't condemn him. Talk about not judging. Yeah. We are to stay on the love side and mercy side of this equation. As we stand in the gap for another, it is to help them, but not to take on their burdens or their sicknesses. Now, we're changing the gears just a little bit here. Let me say that again. As we stand in the gap for another, it is to help them, but not to take on their burdens or their sicknesses. That is stepping into Jesus' place. Beware of Satan's devices here. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes ye were healed. Jesus already took off sickness and disease. So when you pray for somebody and you might get some backlash, you're not bearing that. No. All right, Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Right here, the burden means to lift, to lift. You're just helping them hold up their arms. You're not taking on their sickness. Don't let the devil trick you. Help them, but take it on as a project that I'm going to lift this person up while they are, you know, in this situation. This is God's project, though it's not your project. You're just standing in the gap for another person, okay? Verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. Help, but don't take it. I remember one time someone that was kind of a spiritual mother to a lot of us younger ones for a lot of years, and I remember one lady that she'd had a lot of problems, and she went and stayed with this lady, and the lady really helped her, and she said, I find one fault, though. She tends to carry all the burdens, and she can't let them go. We can't carry them, you know? I mean, we can help. We can help them lift. We can do some lifting, help them. But they're the ones that ultimately, you know, they have to be able to work through this. We're just there to help them do that, all right? All right, help, but don't take. There are a lot of needs out there, but we are to remain carefree from them, even though the Lord might require you to keep them lifted up. Yeah. We are not God. We are just his vessel. I remember Don Palmer, when we went to church out there, we was talking about there was a family in the church, and they were having financial problems, and he was taking them groceries all the time. And one day the Lord said, what are you doing? Well, I'm taking them groceries. He said, you're getting in my way. I'm trying to get them to trust me. And every time they need something, you go run to the grocery store and buy them stuff and take it to them. You're interfering with what I want to do. I go, okay. So he backed off. How are they ever going to learn to trust me if you're that Johnny on the spot? Not. He began to interfere with what God was doing. When you intercede for another, there could be a chance that their demons will target you. So do what James said to do. Look at that. Before you pray for a situation, it's always wise to ask the Lord for wisdom. This is James 1:5. If any of you ask wisdom, let him ask of God, to give to all men liberty, and upbraids not, it shall be given him. Yeah. Again, it's very important that you get the mind of God. The circumstances may not always be what they seem. God may be trying to teach the person you're praying for something, and you don't want to step in and interfere with what God is doing. Have the mind of Christ and the heart of the Holy Spirit when you're praying. Always pray in the Spirit unless the Holy Spirit gives me specific words to pray in English. That's just what I do, okay? Then James chapter 5, sometimes he's expecting them to deal with something. You, all the praying and all the tea in China is not going to change it. If God is saying, okay, I'm trying to get their attention about something, like Jonah. All right, this is James 5:14. It says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they should be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See, there may be something standing in the way that needs to come out into the open to reveal what the hindrance is in the first place. All right? Now bear with me on this one. I'm going to read it because I don't want to miss any points. I recently had someone contact me and they wanted to know about our daughter's experience and they wanted to know about the medication that she took. You know, it's been 12 years or longer. I felt funny about responding to this person. I felt manipulated, actually, because they called me 3 times. Someone else, then she called other people that called me, somebody else. And I finally decided to hear her, and during the conversation, she said that she didn't really want to know about what our daughter's situation was. She just wanted me to pray for her. And I thought, well, why were you not honest in the first place? You know, that was what I was thinking. I didn't say it to her. Why didn't you just come out and say, I would like for you to pray for me? I felt very manipulated, very funny about it. But I felt such pressure, and I was going through this was a few weeks back when I was really going through that really hard few days. All right? I did pray the prayer of agreement with her, but on reflection, I'm not sure if I should have even called her at all. I felt very, very pressured. All right? I know there's something not right there, but after knowing this person for many years, I haven't yet put my finger on it. I've known for many, 30 years at least, something's wrong. He spoke to me about her husband passed away a few years ago. The Lord did speak to me about that, and I won't disclose that because it's nobody else's business. But as far as her, I'm not sure. All right? There are those that say all the right things, but something is off. Oh, yeah, I read all of Brother Hagin's books. I've worn out my Charles Capps books. I've done this. I've done that. Yeah, not only did I feel manipulated by the person, stalked even, I really did, but also from others, a friend, and not good. All right? And so I said, Lord, if I missed it there, please forgive me, and I hope it didn't set me back another 2 years, you know? But something just bugged me the whole time about it, and I don't want to be heartless. I don't want to be unkind. I remember telling my friend, I said, I'm not sent to everybody. Well, Jesus experienced the same kind of thing. We're going to look at that. Intercessors are the fall of the Holy Spirit. We're not to pray against His leadership. We want the best for everyone, but sometimes this isn't possible. If they are out of line in some way, we may not be able to help them. And I really didn't. She wanted me to come to her house, lay hands on her. And I said, no, I'll agree. I agree with you. I'll agree with you that you'll live and not die. All right, I think about Jesus in the press. Think about it, the press. I said, Lord, that was a test, wasn't it? And I failed it. They pressed upon him with all their needs, but he didn't and couldn't help all of them. And he didn't help all of them. The man at the pool, one person, and there was thousands of infirm laying everywhere. Can you just imagine how it smelled? Like Kenneth Copeland talking about when Brother Oral Roberts had the first time he ever was at one of those meetings, he was flying for Brother Oral Roberts. And Oral grabs him by the sleeve and says, I want you to pray for the sick. And he thought, he said he was so scared. He said, but anyway, infirm people everywhere, by the hundreds. But this place, there was thousands. Multitudes, it says. But Jesus was sent to one. All right? Let's look at some scriptures. Mark 2. Four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith and said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye things in your hearts? Rather is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go to thy way into thine own house. And he immediately arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never seen it on this fashion. But it was so crowded in the house, they tore up the roof to get the man down in there. Yep. All right, Mark 5. 27. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. And verse 30. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about him in the press and said, who touched my clothes? There's so many people everywhere pressing in on him to get an answer. All right, Luke chapter 8. I said, Lord, I don't care what anybody thinks. Never again will I be pressured like that to pray for somebody. Then came to him his mother and his brethren and could not come at him for the press. Verse 45. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied Peter, and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee. Sayest thou, who touched me? So Jesus came under pressure. Everywhere he went, there's just crowds and crowds and crowds of people looking for a touch, an answer. All right, Luke 19:3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. So it was Zacchaeus, he climbed up in a tree. And he saw him in the tree. He said, I'm going to your house. Strong's here, press, means a vehicle, a throng, the rabble, a riot, or to crowd. Yeah. Feeling like you're being crowded and manipulated. You need to do this. You need to do this. That's a religious spirit is what it is. That's the way we grow up in church, feeling. especially in the Pentecostal. On further reflection, I wish I had told the lady to come sit in on the teachings or give her a flash drive to listen to. Keith Moore tells a story in healing school that this lady was terminal. Her daughter had come with her, and she wanted to be prayed for. She wanted one of those, one lady said to Brother Hagin, she wanted one of them quick treatments, you know what I'm saying? Them instant prayers, you know? I don't have to do anything. You just pray for me and I get an instant prayer. This, you know, quick treatment, like a quick trial, quick treatment. But this lady, no, she wanted to go eat lunch with her daughter, so she couldn't stay and listen to the word, so he couldn't pray for her. Brother Hagin himself, his sister died at age 55 of cancer. Well, she had cancer at 50. And then Brother Hagin went to the Lord about it and stood in the gap for his sister, and she got healed. Well, a few years later, she gets another kind of cancer. And the Lord says, no, you can't pray for her this time. She's not come to any of your meetings. She hasn't listened to your radio broadcast. She has made no effort on her own to learn anything. So she died. Yeah. All right, Luke 7. Verse 1. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Now this is why. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. But they're saying, well, he gave all this money and built this synagogue. You owe it to him to do this. What is manipulation and control? It's witchcraft. Never let the press sway you. Hear from the Holy Spirit. Their situations cannot sway to get you to pray. Whatever they say, that should not be the motivation for your praying. Let us pray of the line, pray in line of the heart of the Holy Spirit in the matter, not what we think. Yeah. All right, with that said, I've redone our, you know what, I got a page out of Helter. Well, I need to address this other. I'm going to give you some new proclamations. Let's go to James chapter 4. I don't know how I got this page out of Helter, but I did. In fact, there's two of them. I told you it was a long one. All right, James 4. Well, maybe it's supposed to be that way. We'll just see. This had to do with whenever we're praying for people not to take on their burdens and not let the devil come back at us. Right here, this is James 4, 7 and 8. If you get flack from standing in the gap for somebody else, praying for somebody else, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So he doesn't want us taking on their burdens. They have to carry it, but we can lift them up. Here's a good New Testament Holy Ghost-led prayer that took out a leader. This is Acts chapter 12. This is what they prayed, praying in the Holy Spirit. This is Acts 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod was would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the right side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals, and so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true what was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now know of a surety that God hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. When they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should put him to be put to death, and he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sodom, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel, set upon his throne, made an oration unto them, and when the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of the God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So these prayers they were praying were in the Spirit. God took out this wicked leader because they were praying the will of the Spirit. They weren't cursing Herod. They were praying in the Spirit. It got Peter out of jail and dealt with the wicked leader on top of it. That's the way you do it. All right? When we pray with wrong motives, we can open the door to witchcraft. This is Galatians chapter 5. Verse 19 and 20. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In the Strong's, witchcraft, as we know, is pharmakia, medication. It can also be magic, sorcery, and, you know, witchcraft. So, praying well. Praying, Lord, take out this leader. Burn their business to the ground. And on we go. Sounds like a curse, doesn't it? Sounds like a spell. I'm reading a book on intercession, and in it, this minister was walking along the altar listening to people praying, and this lady was cursing a brother, asking that their business fell. And he just stopped right there and asked her, why in the world are you praying that? The devil don't need to be praying, you know, use his people. There's too many people in the church being used by the devil to pray the wrong prayers, wrong motives, wrong hearts. We've got to watch it, guys. We've got to be led by the Spirit. All right? No, it is manipulation and not the leading of the Holy Spirit. This type of praying comes out of your own mind. Witchcraft is a work of the flesh. You pray your own desires, not the mind of the Spirit. James 4. This isn't a rebuke. This is an enlightenment for us to be more effective in our praying. If you don't know, you don't know. Verse 1 says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that it may be consumed upon your own lust. Does that fit? Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren, that he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou to judge another? Praying someone else's property out from under them, that's wicked. Praying somebody's property out from under them, that's wicked. That is witchcraft. You could say, well, Lord, at some time if they decide to sell that, I thank you in the name of Jesus, you give me the money and I'll be able to buy it. See how it changes? Like Brother Hagin used to say, prophesying money out of your pocket into theirs. He said, beware of ministers that do that. This is controlling and it is not of God. The Holy Spirit would never direct our praying this way. People just get squirrely. They don't know. They haven't been taught. Oh Lord, we believe this one or that one needs to leave. Remove them, please. Beware of the Absalom spirit. It tears up. It rips apart. It's seditious in nature. Psalms 133 talks about, I've read it many times, about the anointing on Aaron's head that runs down his beard, even to the hem of his garment. There God has commanded the anointing when we walk in unity. How do you stay in unity? Pray for things, not against things, would be a good start. Everything you pray that's got a negative connotation to it, I'd mark it out. You'd be better not to pray at all than to pray those other kind of prayers. All right? Just like the situation that happened to me. Had they been praying for me, then they would have not torn up our church. They were at fault, not me. God showed me that. He showed me sedition. I had a dream. All right, we're going to read. Go back to Galatians 6. We're going to read the first part of that. And then we're going to pray a prayer. Verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering himself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now I want y'all to pray this with me. All right? Say right now.
Right now.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I ask you, Lord.
To forgive me
for any praying that I have done with wrong motives. I break witchcraft off of my life right now. May any curse that I have uttered not find a resting place. May wrong words fall to the ground. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for praying through me your perfect will. From this day forward, I will pray for things and not against things. I will bless and not curse. All right. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, let's just say love, I don't like that translation, I become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. To safely stay on track and not get flaky in our intercession, our focus needs to be on God and His Word. Pray the Word. Never let your emotions or circumstances enter into your thinking and praying. Satan is a master at this, so submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he will flee. Stay on track. Do you ever go to intercede and the devil tries to get you off track with thoughts going this way and that way? Yeah. Happens a lot. All right. I want to give out, we're going to go through this a little bit, and I want you to see the changes. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, the first page are the 17 counties. The Permian. A little bigger, it even shows all the little towns. The second map is the one that Danny, the Lord, spoke to him, the ley line between the state capitol and the federal court there in Midland, the ley lines. Yeah. All right, I'm going to read these for whoever's listening, will be listening. Spiritual mapping. In the name of Jesus, we bound the straw men of the state capitol in Austin, Texas. Lord, take down all satanic high places. We also bound the ley lines that run from the state capitol to the federal courthouse in Midland, Texas. We loose these areas for the infiltration of the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the harvest and for sending workers into the harvest field. In the name of Jesus, we bound the straw man of the U.S. District Court of Western District of Texas, 200 East Wall, room 222, Menin, Texas, 79701. We pray for Judge David Counts, Judge Robert A. Janelle, and Judge Robert C. Griffin, that they will have your wisdom as they reside over this court. May all corruption be removed and your righteousness prevail there. Thank you for giving these judges your wisdom to reside over these three counties, Upton, Pecos, and Ector, so that the kingdom of God may rule there and that justice will prevail. We thank you that this court has been restored under the Republic, and all involved, judges, lawyers, law enforcement employees, have been retrained in constitutional law. In the name of Jesus, we bound the strong men over the 17 counties of the Permian Basin, Andrews, Borden, Crane, Dawson, Ector, Gaines, Glasscock, Howard, Loving, Martin, Midland, Pecos, Reeves, Terrell, Upton, Warden, Winkler. We claim these 17 counties for the kingdom of God. We pray for all sheriffs in these counties to have wisdom to rule in their full jurisdiction in your righteousness. May they bring law and order in these counties in Jesus' name. Lord, may Faith Avenue Broadcast be your apostolic mouthpiece to restore your church order in the Permian Basin. Thank you that your pastors are hearing your voice. Thank you that they have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches in these 17 counties. Thank you, Lord, that your apostles and prophets have been restored to their proper place in all counties across the state of Texas, in Jesus' name. You notice we're not manipulating anybody? Prayer of confession for Faith Avenue. Fathers of Faith Avenue partner, I boldly come to your throne of grace to intercede for the vision of Faith Avenue. Set my people free from the strongholds of their minds. Romans 5:17 says, for because of one man's trespass, lapse offense, death reigned through that one. Much more surely with those who receive God's overflowing grace and merited favor and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. I thank you that through the power of prayer and partnership, we're reaching the Permian Basin with the gospel of the kingdom of God, and lives are being changed forever. Father, I declare that faith partners are being added to Faith Avenue daily from all over the Permian Basin, that believers are uniting with the vision of faithfully supporting the building of the kingdom of God through the ministry. Multitudes of souls are coming to the kingdom. Believers are being taught how to live independent, free from this world system, and the body of Christ is rising up and taking the rightful place of dominion in the earth. Father, thank you that my partnership allows me to partake of the same grace, the same anointing, the same divine favor, blessings, and supernatural increases upon Faith Avenue. I declare that the blessings of Abraham is on my life and the life of this ministry, and together we're changing the Permian Basin forever in Jesus' name. All right. Local and state proclamations. Our border wall has been completed in the great state of Texas. The wall is paid for here and in all other border states. We no longer have a border crisis. The spirit of Jezebel has vacated our state. Marriage is between a man and a woman. We honor God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Law and order has returned to Odessa, Texas, Ector County, the great state of Texas. Everyone here has a gun and knows how to use it. We are pro-God, pro-gun, pro-life state. In Texas, it's Texans first. We have the right to bear arms and ammunition, no permit or license required. In Texas, COVID is over. Our great Governor Greg Abbott has banned COVID from our state. He has made Texas great again. Texas schools adhere to the Constitution and the Bible and the training of our children. We kneel before God and we stand for the national anthem and honor the flag. Texas is the Jubilee State. All Texans have the right to privacy. We have swift justice in Texas. All our sheriffs have been retrained in constitutional law, and they back us and we back them. All right, and here's the big one, which it's been greatly condensed also. Proclamations over the United States. English is the official language of the United States for America. Any illegal seeking citizenship will be required to learn English. Free classes will be provided for them. We would desire that they be a viable part of our society, pledge allegiance to our flag, and have an opportunity as part of their citizenship training to hear the presentation of the gospel of the kingdom. We are not divided. We are united. We're all just Americans, one nation under God. Where we go one, we go all. A nation divided will fall. America is a Christian nation, and we're taking the gospel into all the nations. Donald John Trump is the 19th president of the newly restored Republic of the United States for America. Law and order has returned to our nation. The people of the Republic are pro-life, pro-God, gun, and pro-God. Cursive writing has returned to the classroom, and cancel culture, selective emotional learning is no longer taught in our schools. Parents have a Bill of Rights, and the money follows the parent's choice for the child. Russell J. Gould has passed the four-title flag to Donald John Trump. The Republic is safe and secure. In America, we stand for the national anthem and honor the flag. In America, it's American citizens first. President Trump has built the National Garden of American Heroes. Just a minute. We pray and honor God in this nation. The church is at the top of all seven mountains of influence. Babylon has fallen. We respect our military and law enforcement. We back them and they back us. Big Pharma has been exposed and disclosed and will never again be deceived by their sorcery. We now have honest elections. We are now on the quantum voting system. We've had our civil liberties restored. All hidden technologies have been disclosed and released to we the people. We can do what we want on our property. No more IRS, illegal taxes, or fees. We'll handle our own money. The church has been freed from the 501c3. The church is in divine order based on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. The wealth of the sinners has been laid up for the righteous. All victims of human rights abuse, human and child trafficking has been rescued and restored. Our airways are filled with good and wholesome programming. All poison has been removed from the land, the air, and the water. Seniors receive special honor. Biblical divine order has been restored in the church and in the nation. Men are happy in their biblical place as well as women. Individuals are back in their right minds and sitting at the feet of Jesus. We have made in the USA products in abundance. We have peace in earth, goodwill toward men. But you notice there's no coming against anybody. There's not any negativity. It's all for So I hope you got the gist of what I was trying to say in this teaching, that we've got to keep our motives right. We have to follow the Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to